You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Lenny, I don't know what to do. I just went to the fridge and... Oh, please ready yourself. We're out of beer.
Well, that's no problem, honey. I was just listening to OneOfUs.net and they said on there that, apparently there's this company, Oscar Blues Brewing, that makes all kinds of great beers. They were the first people to put craft brew in a can.
What, you mean like all those other beers that are now? Those craft beers that they put in a can that I see everywhere? They couldn't have done it first.
They did with Dale's Pale Ale. It's so delicious. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's a brewery of theirs right down the street from us.
Really?
Well, yeah, we live in Austin, right near OneOfUs.net. I mean, we love them. That's why we're subscribers as well. It's the only way they can keep going. That and, well, Oscar Blues Brewing Company, which is their sponsor.
Wow, I feel so much better.
I hate to steal a joke from the movie, but in this context, it's just so true. We are definitely in the dog days of August when it comes to movie watching.
Yeah, that film was a real pile of shih tzu.
Yeah, I was not going to overpun it there, but thanks, Ben.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your help.
The boopers make that pun because you guys ran out before you saw that.
Yes, I did. Very fast.
I just, there's, August has almost turned, for the summer, it's what like January traditionally is. It's turned into kind of a dumping ground. Sometimes there are movies that, they're not bad. But you can see why the studio's like, oh.
And the studios sit there like the asshole who doesn't bring his plastic bag to the dog park and just leaves a steaming present for everybody there in the middle of the grass.
It expects you to pay for, to see it.
This is one of these. Oof. There were two screenings on top of each other, and I was like, not like, you know, like at the same time, but one, and then immediately the next one, and I didn't even read what this was about. I was like, well, it's at the same location, and it's right after. It was a moment I go in there, and the slide on the screen in the movie. There's a bunch of dog faces. I was like, whoa, fuck.
Martin saw it, and he was like, oh, shit, they're actual dogs in this? And I was like, did you think Pacino was going to be in
this? That's like the dog.
Finally, they made the sequel. Now Chris Sarandon is actually a woman.
Martin Scorsese's Dog Days.
I'm just glad the dogs didn't talk, though, because that's what I was expecting when I walked in.
No, because then we got dog reaction shots every 5 seconds.
Yeah, I've said for a while now, any movie that tries to sell a joke by a dog reaction shot is inherently flawed. It loses a whole star by doing that. And this movie is like 90% dog reaction shots.
This movie probably, we saw this with a full house, and this is probably the most aws I've ever heard in a fucking movie.
In the first 5 seconds, the entire theater went aw, and then I giggled because it caught me off guard.
Like, really?
Well, you for that random newscast, with like, your dogs love you. The news. I'm like, fuck you. That's not the news.
It helps that I have a dog.
So. This is a very dog-centric world. Apparently, everybody in L.A., or at least this parallel universe version of L.A., everybody has a dog, loves a dog, and just talks incessantly about dogs.
And goes to the same veterinarian.
I was
going to
say, there's one vet in all of L.A.
That's how you
This is really talk. Everything that happens within, like, I think a mile radius. Which actually could have been an interesting idea if they sold that idea of like, oh, well, this is a community and dogs are kind of the theme that ties all these people together. Then it'd be like a fucking cheap
story.
Because
they gave us the weather for 3 different weeks.
If you do see this film, if you're one of those people who choose to see it, it's like, I'm a dog person. Fine, whatever. You'll like it for the dogs, I guess, if you're just like, you can stare at dogs all day. I mean, I'm a cat person, and I would not choose to watch this movie if it was called Cat Days and it was filled with just as many cats.
I would not.
Yeah, it's not this isn't a criticism against dogs.
No.
This is a criticism about just using animals for a cheap laugh or a sentimental pulling of the heartstrings.
But here's even more than that, really. It's what it comes down to is ever since Love Actually, which I will still defend and think is a pretty good movie.
Even though it's not.
It is.
It's
and you can
movie.
Shut up, though.
But I agree with
it's both. Bad for life. It's a good movie.
But director Gary Marshall, who did not direct that film, decided, this is my new thing! And literally made three knockoffs of it in a row based off holidays. Valentine's Day, New Year's Eve, and Mother's Day, all of which are just get more and more atrocious.
And no one told his ghost that Dog Days isn't an actual fucking holiday.
Well,
it is now.
But that's just it. It's like, you know, those movies, they're like, that they're the same thing, where it's, here's a bunch of different people that all have a situation in their life with a hole in their heart that needs filling. And sooner or later, these stories all come together, and they're not, some are romance, some are, like, in this particular one, some of them are romance, some are,
intergenerational friendships.
Intergenerational friendships, adopting a child and trying to make them fit into the family, what have you. And you know that all these stories will, even if it's the last minute, oh shit, we haven't put these stories together yet, will come together in one way or another.
Oh no, I mean, this movie was just, it the way it's constructed, I mean, I can't fault it for its construction. I mean, if this were a bridge, it would stand for 1,000 years. It's like...
on saccharine bullshit.
It's like, okay, I see every few feet you've spaced this, you know, concrete pillar. All right. This movie feels like it has just been made according to a blueprint.
But they won't,
it does not deviate from
it. They won't show you the pillars, though. They won't show you the concrete. They won't show you anybody working on it. But they will talk about that pillar. They'll tell you all about it.
Show you the dogs, though.
I mean, it is schematic to a fault.
So you have... Okay, so with the newscaster, that was Nina Dobrev, right? Okay,
yes.
Who actually... generally actually kind of like.
I did. I mean, I like the cast in this. They just...
But let's get into the story. So Nina Dobrev is a morning newscaster who is after...
Well, she's a host of a morning show.
Host of a morning show who's just found out her boyfriend was cheating on her, and she's depressed and sad, and she pretends like it's her dog that's depressed and sad, because that's what weird, shallow people do, I guess.
And he's played by Ryan Hansen, who should play every cheating boyfriend, actually.
It's pretty much the job he was
meant to do. What cheater brings their dog, by the way?
I know, I saw that. It's
like, but she gets assigned a new morning co-host when basically... she has a guest star on who's like an ex-football player, and they don't get along, but audiences totally dig it, and they're like, yeah, we're going to give him a job with you, because audience loves seeing you guys not get along.
Within
That's
a day.
How news works.
Yeah.
I mean, no negotiations. Like, we love you. You're on the air tomorrow. I'm like, wow, that was a really quick signing.
And of course, you know that's a meet-cute waiting to happen, and lots of like sort of like
people. That's Tone Bell.
I believe so. And then you have Vanessa Hudgens, works in a coffee shop. She has a crush on the hot, rich veterinarian across the street. And, but you can tell, like, a regular guy who's in there has a crush on her, and she goes to work at the animal shelter where the vet sometimes helps out at, and hoping to get another, a little closer to said vet, and also because she found a dog that she can't keep because of her apartment building.
Sure.
And the guy who has a crush on her in the store is the guy who runs the thing, and you can see where there's a triangle that's going to come up there. Then you got Thomas Lennon, and I am not sure who the mom was there. Do you know who the mother
I think
was
that's Jessica St. Clair?
I think you're right. Yeah. But is there a married and very pregnant couple, and she has a ne'er-do-well slacker musician brother who...
It's played by Adam Pally.
Yeah, like as Adam Pally.
In his wheelhouse. Who apparently, even though he's practically a hobo, can afford the best apartment in L.A.
Yeah, really nice apartment, actually.
We told his sisters, like, yeah, you pay for my insurance in my van. It's like, that car has insurance? Like, what the fuck?
You're paying $6,000 a month for his fucking apartment. I can tell you that much.
I mean, he lives next door to Vanessa Hudgens, whose only job is at a coffee shop. Right. So I don't. This is
so. This is LA from Friends.
The building they're living in has actually been condemned, and they're just squatting there.
But he screws up by not showing up to a baby shower for his sister, and so she's like, "Okay, you owe me. You have to take our giant furry dog while I'm going to the hospital because I'm about to give birth." He's like, "Well, there's no dogs in my apartment." And, you know, and this is sort of a meet cute between man and dog getting his life back together because he's got to learn to take care of something.
I was going to say, that one pissed me off where I'm like, you're going to be in the hospital for at least 3 days. You can't say, watch the dog in our house so you don't get evicted. Like, I get he's not.
Would you trust Adam Pally in your place?
They evidently have a few times. They trusted him with a baby.
I trust Adam Pally to look it up for my dog. Which is kind of moot.
We have a point. And then they were desperate.
And then you have Ron Cephas Jones. People probably know him most recently from This Is Us, but he's a longtime character actor. He's an elderly black man who
dresses like every hipster in fucking San Francisco.
And they make a point about how hot it is. And he's like, you're wearing a jacket and a little sweater vest, and you look natty as hell.
You're walking your obese dog in this heat.
Don't dress for the weather.
It was 112 degrees today, and three of y'all are wearing long pants, so I don't want to hear about
Mexicans.
You know me, and if it was possible to dress like that in 107-degree weather, I fucking would.
I know. Anyway, so he has developed a weird friendship with the pizza boy, who accidentally scares off his beloved little dog and the guy has it looks like a stroke that he recovers from instantly. But
does he scare the dog, or does he insult the dog and the dog gets incensed and runs away?
It's a bit convoluted. And that story is the one that's most tied into another one with the Rob Corddry and Eva Longoria, who are married and are adopting a little girl.
They finally managed to adopt a girl after a long time of trying, and the girl gets in there and she's like
very taciturn.
Yeah, they're like, how can we break this down? Which seems like that's not how adoption actually works.
They kind of make it clear she's been to the house before to meet them. So then also she's at the house and she has no idea where anything is and is scared of it.
And she's fucking Buster Keaton.
But they can't.
How are we gonna make this kid say something?
But they can't break the ice with this kid because ICE has just taken her away to a facility and the border town.
She
was one of the ones they were able to track and reunite later.
I was looking for the other ones, not so lucky.
Some of them may have wound up in kennels. That's a much darker version.
I stumbled into that joke by accident. I was just like, this is happening, isn't it?
I was trying to connect the dots to something and you nailed it early. Damn it.
Just let it happen.
So don't say this movie isn't relevant.
No, so they end up finally finding that melting spot with her where they discover the dog that belongs to Ron Cecil Jones.
And she does do a turnaround and literally, like, I had a friend
who lost their child.
Their kid just would not talk. And the doctors are just like, hey, sometimes kids take longer than others. Just wait, it'll happen.
Give it time.
One day they had a birthday party for the kid, and they rented a pony, and as soon as the kid saw the pony, he's like, oh my god, a pony! This is awesome! This is the best greatest thing that ever happened! This is pretty much what happened.
The trick wasn't getting her to talk. The trick was getting her to stop talking.
Now we gotta shut her up.
It's never too young to learn that people suck, and it's much more fun to hang out with animals.
Are there pugs that are not obese, though?
Well, and also the pug isn't trying so fucking hard, unlike David Corddry and Rob Corddry and Eva Longoria.
Well, Rob Corddry's not trying that hard. Eva Longoria is trying very hard.
They're both trying.
Rob Corddry's trying
for the ride. But meanwhile, in the other story, Ron Cephas Jones and the pizza boy, whose name he looks familiar.
It's Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things.
His first line is an '80s joke.
Are hitting it off because he's like some weird sort of like. Like, the kid is, desperately need to be mentored version of, like, a Manic Pixie Dream Girl, almost, you know? He's just the perfect kid to show up in this guy's life.
Why are you trying to make
life.
This relationship so dirty?
I'm not!
I kind of thought it was
That is the one that most feels like an after-school special.
He's just the perfect kid. He's just like, I am giving this old man everything he needs.
Right. His one flaw is that he doesn't like the Odyssey, but oh my god, Ron Cephas Jones used to teach English at UCLA, so of course he's going to tutor him.
My biggest issue is I really need a tutor, but my mom can't afford it. It's like, you have your own fucking moped at 16. Like, fuck you. You have any vehicle at 16, it's like, you can afford things.
Why do you have that job? What are you making that money for? You live in a really posh area of LA, and you make, you know, minimum wage. And you're in high school. The least you could do is shell out $50 to get a computer.
I swear to God, like, all typical Hollywood set dressers and location scouts must operate on that same kind of Republican mentality, though. Like, the average comes about, $150,000?
What's one rehearsal hall? A band with no gigs, and their rehearsal hall has, like, all of these, you know, just big neon signs just there in the middle of nowhere. It's like, where these places don't exist.
This is the future as envisioned by the people who live in the world of the Fallout games before the nuclear apocalypse happened.
Everything's going to be fine.
Complete with a buggy.
Oh, God.
you know, and one thing as well, the first thing I thought seeing this guy is like, oh, I see why they're moving the Stranger Things storyline in season 3 up by 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Somebody's shooting up like a bean sprout. Anyway, so you guys, was this the best movie of the hours that we saw it?
Jesus,
or what?
This wasn't even the... Look, this was not a good movie. But this isn't even the worst movie I saw today.
No, it wasn't.
It did make me respect Mamma Mia a lot more.
It's wow. just mediocre. That's all it is.
I mean, it's run-of-the-mill.
It's a Hallmark film where they're like, we got a little more money than normally.
It's mediocre and milquetoast and just, like, not trying very hard. And I got to hand it to director Ken Marino. This is better than any of those Gary Marshall films, for sure.
No,
but
yeah,
that's
right.
not saying much.
This I still laughed in chunks
This is a television movie.
Yeah.
It's got a few moments where you're like, this feels like it wants to be a little elevated, a little wackier, a little wilder, but it also feels like the money people were like, we're not making that kind of film.
It feels like Ken Marino brought in his friends, like, you're really talented, please come Thomas Lennon, please come Rob Corddry, I know Tone Bell, we can get him here.
It's
all right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the oldest psychiatrist joke in the book.
And
three
it still
times.
Works with her because she's so dry. It fits perfectly.
Yeah, but anybody, literally anybody could have done
that.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. It's just like the script is so by the numbers and it's so tell don't show that yeah, they literally could have shipped in a tribe of monkeys.
but maybe a few lemurs would have got more awes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those lemurs, they have those big clean eyes.
And it's
that's
at, like,
the sequel, Marco.
Every now and then there's like a brief moment of like, oh, well, that's a good bit in a different movie that would have worked out rather well, and it was well delivered and, you know, good punch.
You know, this is
but
like...
It immediately gets the wind sucked out of it by the, let me tell you exactly why it's meaningful that we're having this conversation now conversation.
Yeah, this movie only really works because the actors that they got are trying desperately to make this thing work.
But
like, if these were lesser people, I would probably hate this movie.
But that makes it painful at times because you're seeing really good actors just sort of flop sweating their way through this going like, we want you to feel something, damn it. Isn't this funny? I'm like, no, it's not. But God bless you for trying to make me think so.
I will say the Nina Dobrev Tone Bell one was the one that, even though it's the one that falls back on the oldest, like, we need to have drama in here thing in the world, like, that they barely even tried to insert drama in the middle of it. It's still the kind of the one that I feel like the meet cute is actually kind of working. You're kind of rooting for them to get together.
It does, except the meet cute is when they meet him, she calls him an asshole, and he is a real asshole. And then, but then for the rest of the play, he's like this completely the rest of the show, he's this completely nice guy, and you're like, man, all right.
He was just
I get it.
The first
you got to do a meet cute.
He's
so
on
that's,
television.
That's you're going to do the most literal basic white girl meet cute you can possibly get.
Yeah, this
you're
is a bunch of attractive
tongue.
People in locales that you don't believe anyone could actually afford to live in that have been art directed to a T and lit very nicely, and then occasionally between the jokes that don't land, they
Which
try to salvage it by cutting to a cute dog.
Yeah. Well, except for that party at the end where it's clearly the worst matte painting of Los Angeles I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, no, that was pretty bad.
Dog had a helmet.
And one of those bands that you're like, you're supposed to believe like he's like a real musician and he's like, this is a great band. They just need that big break. And I'm like, this is a horrible fucking cover band.
Yeah, I never got like, that they were like a great band. They were just a bunch of people that really wanted a gig.
If I ever heard a band live that sounded that clean and produced when playing live, I would probably sign them. I'd be like, how are you even doing that?
I don't know. It's the best version of Who Let the Dogs Out.
It's so
ever
bland,
heard.
But yeah. It, oh
it's
my
so
God.
Bland, but Jesus Christ. Like,
but it's crisp.
Sounds like somebody's like, it sounds like somebody already produced this in the studio for 17
it's
hours.
It's almost like you're lip syncing it.
It's almost like you guys have been auto-tuned, but how?
It's uncanny.
It's Charlie's magical powers.
Oh my God.
This is just you guys, you know what this is.
You know
I don't want to hear any of you guys going, oh, I gotta see for myself if it's that bad. Don't bother. It's not even that bad.
We've told you about other movies that came out just this week that are better than this. Listen to the other reviews. There's better stuff this week.
Yeah. This isn't a you know, somebody setting out a plate of shit in front of you. This is a plate of fast food. And you know, if you go see it, it will give you empty calories, and it will give you something to do for a couple of hours. But you will forget about it within a couple of hours.
This is a can of like Hill Country Fair version of SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Don't you disparage Hill Country Fair?
Meticulously have studied what SpaghettiOs are. SpaghettiOs in this case being Love Actually, and have reproduced it almost to a T, yet still somehow strangely off.
Yeah, but put it in cute little dog form. That's the thing. You know, this movie is like, okay, like, we've all had those days where we're just pissed off and we're angry. Yes. And we just can't stand life. And so you take a little break and you check your Facebook feed. And of course, somebody's posted some cute little video of like a puppy in a hat. I'm like, oh, it's a puppy in a hat. I like puppies. I'm okay with hats. And you watch the little 20-second video and you're like, oh, puppy in a hat. You don't realize it, but you save lives today. Probably people, you know, people's lives at my hand. But still, for 20 seconds, you're like, oh, that's great. I feel better about life. This movie tries to extend that over an hour and like 113 minutes. And you cannot do it. It is not healthy to be watching something like that.
Keep going to your final thoughts.
That, you know, that's basically it. This is a little cute fucking Facebook's video or like a listicle of cute animal pictures with occasionally well-known actors interspersed in between. Like I said, and I'm really not joking, this is not the worst movie I saw today, but it is bland, it is mediocre. If you want to see a movie like this because you know it's going to make you feel good, even though you know it's shitty, I'm not going to judge you. Like, I don't judge somebody for watching a cute little video of an animal on Facebook because it makes them feel good
for
a few seconds.
30 seconds.
Exactly.
This is
just know that you are signing up for 113 minutes of that. Yeah. So if you want to see it, I'm not going to judge you, but there's better stuff out there. I give this movie 28 out of 70 dog years.
He did that in his head.
Yeah, the like I said, this is your you know, quarter pounder fries with a medium Coke. This, you know, if you're in a rush for your entertainment buck, go have fun. I'm not going to judge you either. There are occasional little glimmers of humor in this. I think Thomas Lennon, as he usually does, does a fine job of, you know, making great stuff out of, you know, crappy material. There's little, you know, moments between Vanessa Hudgens and Adam Pally that I thought were quite funny. But by and large, this thing goes at a kilter. Most of the plot setups are eye-rollingly basic. Nothing's going to surprise you here. If that's your meal of choice for the day, go have fun. But yeah, this is a skinny white bitch. It is the vodka and club soda of movie fare out today.
It's the basic white bitch of movies.
Absolutely.
this movie wants to see your manager.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I give it four and a half funny, unusual animal friendship videos that you'd be better off watching anyway out of 10.
Ben.
I wanted to like this movie. I'm a dog lover. I like Kim Marino a lot. And I like a lot of the cast, as we talked about. The cast was good. There's a lot of times you will actually laugh out loud. And then the next 20 minutes, you're like, can we move to the next segment? Like, you need to keep this moving for us to have any interest. You said it was 113 minutes. It felt like 127 hours sometimes. I'm just like,
you're ready to saw your own arm off.
I actually thought if Mike wasn't next to me giving me some things to laugh about in some of the most dead moments of this movie, I really might have just been like, let's go to sleep. Let's ignore this till the next funny scene with Adam Pally happens or something. It's not terrible, but there's better things. Go see Mamma Mia. Go see Mission Impossible for sure. But,
yeah, that's like,
you know, go see Spy Who Dumped Me. Let's do a review that.
Yeah, just don't try to do it using your movie account.
No, that's dead.
Because that's not going to work.
No. If you have to see it, take Michael with you because then you'll enjoy it more, apparently. Okay.
I'm like a CNI dog.
But yeah, so overall, there's some stuff here, but if you look at this trailer and you said, that could be cute, don't waste your time with that. If you even have to say that could be cute as your best positive from the trailer, you already know you're not going to enjoy this. Fucking don't see this movie.
I'm taking Michael into the next thing that I got to do later. This is Michael. He's my scene bland dog. He will express the blandness back to me in terms that I can understand.
He'll point out what the funny bits are and then help me avoid all of those other obstacles that are impeding my amusement.
Like the George Carlin of movie theater guys who tell you what you already know. You just couldn't see that it was funny when you were watching it without him next to you to point it out.
He's like a pointer. He'll just point right at the funny part.
That's the one good moment.
That's the bit. That's it. Right there.
Get it? Huh? Hey, Bob Jungle.
It's not funny until Mike points out how not funny it is. That's the one. It's like, that's not funny. What do you give it,
man? I give it a 3.5 out of 10 dog reaction shots that you wish would just stop.
Okay, Michael.
Do you like Hallmark movies?
No.
Do you like dog propaganda?
Do you like gladiatorial?
Then this movie's for you. Have you ever seen a grown
man naked?
Do you like Turkish movies, Billy?
Sorry, Airplane was much funnier than this movie.
Yeah, this film this film happened. That's the best way of putting this film. Like, it's a film full of dogs reacting. A dog has a helmet on at one point and gets like that almost looks like a Jay Garrick helmet.
One point?
And then they put wings on it to make it a Jay Garrick helmet. There's a lot of just meet cute stuff. Adam Pelly, like I like him a lot. I was a big fan of him in Happy Endings and a bunch of random Funnier Guy and College of Humor videos. He was always one of my favorites from those. Thomas Lennon's great as always, but he's not like he's only given so much to do. Rob Corddry's actually kind of sweet. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, you keep expecting him because he's Rob Corddry
to do something vile.
Where he's going
to
do something totally vile.
Well, and David Wayne is in here, hosting it, playing a clown.
I didn't realize it was David Wayne.
Or
the guy who from Broad City who plays the roommate's boyfriend that we never see the roommate. But
he's always there. If you tell me any movie that says David Wayne in a clown suit in it, I know that something terrible is going to happen.
Mostly to us.
Not this terrible.
Also, I'm pretty sure they caught Vanessa Hudgens in her actual job at this point.
You saw Spring Breakers, you know it's true.
Fuck off, I like that movie.
She was adorable in this movie.
That's the thing, is everyone's adorable in this movie. Yeah. But that's it. They're there. They read their lines. Some I chuckled, I laughed here and there. I looked at Ben, and I was like, "This is happening." And by the time it was done, I was like, "Well, I don't hate anything. I thought it was cute, and I thought the dogs were adorable, and that's really all it was. Like, I really can't give it any lower than 4 out of 10 children hospital actors."
Fair enough. I tell you, and we kept thinking about this. There's a point I lost track of what was happening in one scene because I suddenly got hit with this like flash to the future, like the ghost of Christmas Future suddenly put his hand on my shoulder where I'm sitting in a nursing home and I can't speak anymore. I'm like, okay, guys, it's movie time. And every movie they play is Dog Days or something like it. And I'm just like,
oh, that was me. I threw a copy of Scary Movie at him.
Right? I'm like, please kill me. I'm in hell. I think he said he wants more applesauce. You wanted me to turn it up louder, Chris? Help me.
Chris, you know we'll get you a little bell in your wheelchair. It'll be fine. Columbo's on.
So that should be in like a year. This is... I mean, like I said, it's not even hateable. It's just so mundane. It's a lot of pretty people doing really generic stuff that occasionally has things that elevate it over the other films of this subgenre. Not by very much, only in that I never hated this film. And all those others, except Love Actually, fuck you, Bo, I despised them. Like actively was like, that movie pissed me off so bad on so many levels. This one, I never felt that way. I was just annoyed at its general milquetoastness.
If only it had a scene where some guy confesses his love to his best friend's wife and tells him not to say anything about it to put it over the top.
I thought that was a wonderful scene.
Oh, well, especially if that actor would go on to fight zombies.
Well, exactly. That's my point.
And now he's going to lose to the zombies, so we're all happy.
I can't believe we've spent as long as we have talking about motherfucking Dog Days. Jesus Christ. No one will remember this movie was ever made like 5 years from now.
This movie ain't nothing but a hound dog, Chris.
No one will remember it 5 minutes from now.
I told you we should have gone with my original idea of just barking out who let the dogs out, but in this movie did
that. I've already heard that two more times than I need to this century. I give this 3.5 out of 10 pot brownies.
We now owe the Baja Men $2,000.